Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnon. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. He comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. It's a gorgeous Saturday, I know. But we're in here to help you out. Feel free to get online. And if you've got any technical issues that have occurred over the past week or so, or if you called in last week and we gave you some advice, and it, you know, I know there's a couple calls out there. That one I want to hear about is that Tesla solar thing.
Right.
Where it wasn't.
Right.
So I want to see how that went. Hopefully he's out there listening. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And of course, we are on the old Facebook. So if you want to watch our mugs here, we're broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. And if Zuckerberg deems it worthy, it may get to your news feed. Speaking of news.
Oh,
we have something.
It's news and it's something of a public service announcement.
All right.
I read a story on G-Hacks.
G-Hacks? I haven't heard
G-Hacks.
That one.
G-Hacks. Right. Oh, yeah. It's a security website. It's
right.
Very, very good.
Nice.
Your new phishing email may come straight from PayPal.
That's not good.
This is not phishing where somebody fakes PayPal.
Right. No spoofing.
And then gets you to click a link and you go to a malicious site.
Right.
This is not that.
Right.
This is where the scammers set up a free PayPal account for themselves.
Thanks, PayPal.
And then they use PayPal to generate these invoices or other requests for payment.
Or payloads. Any kind of payloads.
They send out the emails, and they can't include payloads with them.
Right.
But the problem with this is that on a technical level, when that email comes into you, you don't know that that's phishing because it has links to PayPal.com.
Legitimate PayPal.com links. And so you hover
it
over.
It comes from PayPal.com.
Right.
If you're smart enough to look at the headers on the email and see where they come from, they came from PayPal.
Completely legitimate. So you're like, wait a minute, this is a billing error. This is innocent. Somebody by accident maybe is going to invoice me for something else. So, you know, Eric Semmel, maybe they meant to send the email to Rick Semmel, and maybe it's just an honest mistake. You click on the invoice, boom, you get ransomed.
Possibly. Depending on what they threw in with that.
Right.
But I just think that's real, almost terrifying.
You can configure your own PayPal system for free. These guys don't. You can't take a second to vet these people, please.
And part of the problem is that for years now we've given people advice like that. Make sure it came from PayPal.
Right.
Well, okay, great. It came from PayPal.
Right.
And you're still gonna get taken to the cleaners.
Ay. Thanks, Dennis.
You're welcome.
Scarier and scarier out there. Well, you know it's political season, right, Dennis?
No.
Yeah.
Really?
I've seen a few ads.
Didn't I thought we had a primary election a couple days ago.
I voted. But we all cringe when we see the ads, right? No matter whose side you're on. Even though we're all supposed to be on the one side, but we won't go there. So Google has gotten the green light to flood U.S. mail inboxes with political spam. So the Federal Elections Commission votes to let Google allow campaign email through filters. So if you filtered it out and said you don't want it, guess what? You get
no
it anyways.
Way. Yep. If I created a filter to keep out some candidate's stuff.
You get it anyways.
Oh, holy.
Yeah. Well, again, it's free. What do you want? The U.S. Federal Election Commission Thursday voted 4-1 to allow Google to create a program exempting qualified political email That's even ridiculous. From Google spam filtering, despite emphatic objections from who? Us.
Yeah. The people, you got to look at it.
The ad giant floated his proposal after Republicans claimed Gmail's spam filter is biased against them. And that the party's lawmakers introduced a bill called the Political Bias in Algorithms Sorting Emails Act to punish big tech. So
let me understand this.
Yes.
People out there are creating filters to block emails from candidates.
Correct.
And that's political bias.
Right.
By Google.
It's crazy. Again, these people don't know how email works.
Here. Yeah, right. I know.
So they're saying that to solve the issue, we're going to have Google ignore your filters rather than just allow the filters you want to put in because the lawmakers don't understand how filters work.
Well, right.
They're blaming Google for all this.
Yeah, it's Google's fault that our stuff doesn't get to you. Ugh.
And you wondered why we need less lawyers in as politicians and more geeks. Because a geek would understand this better and say, look, guys, you can't write a law like that. And this is what you're going to get. This is the unintended consequence of garbage in your inbox. I don't even look at my Gmail. It's not even worth looking at.
I don't pay attention to it unless there's something coming to it that I know I'm going to see.
Right. It's ridiculous. It. So, yep, you guys are going to all get your junk mail flying at you thanks to the fact that our lawmakers are dinglings. We'll put a link up here for you. You can read the – it's, of course, this article comes from the folks across the pond. The Register has
this. Oh, interesting. So it was up to the Brits to tell us about something like this, huh?
Yes. So.
Oh, great.
Enjoy. What else you got there, Dennis?
Oh, well, Haynes Corporation.
Yeah, your way. Haynes, your way.
Yeah. They. It seems they had a spot of bother back in May.
Okay. What happened then?
It was a ransomware attack.
Okay.
Now, interestingly enough, they did cop to it around the time that it happened.
Sure.
You know, they found out about it.
Right.
They contained it.
Yeah.
They made some kind of an announcement about it.
Right. Ransomware can be a big deal or it can be a little deal,
Yes.
It all depends on what happens.
You know, and sometimes you have a ransomware attack, you contain it, and you're okay.
Right.
You have a few computers you need to wipe and reload, and that's it. You're fine.
They have, they make underwear, right? So, I mean, of course you're going to be able to still make underwear if you get ransomed, right? I mean, I'm sure they plan for a contingency where they could still make underwear even if they got hit with a ransomware attack, Dennis, right? I mean, it's third world, right? I mean, isn't it Sri Lanka or Bangladesh making our underwear? It's not, I mean, it can't impact the process of making underwear, can it, Dennis?
Well.
It did?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And this wasn't revealed until an SEC filing came down from them.
Yikes.
So they waited to deliver this news until they absolutely had to.
Okay.
It turns out that they lost about $100 million in sales because some product lines were out of production for 3 weeks.
Oh, my. That's a lot of underwear.
Because of the ransomware attack.
Talk about losing your underwear.
I lost my shorts.
Oh, man. So here's the thing, right? So we deal with disaster recovery and all this type of stuff in our world, right? So when we talk to our customers about this, these businesses, they have to understand what a disaster is. So in Haynes's case, clearly there's a disconnect between the IT guys understanding how underwear is made. Right? I mean, clearly, you know, nobody discussed the fact that if you get hit with ransomware, you're not going to be able to move your looms. I don't understand.
Well, they apparently had difficulty collecting and placing orders with their suppliers and then arranging deliveries with the distributors.
$100 million issues. That's big.
That's a lot.
So when you guys sit down and talk to your IT people about what a disaster is, you have to understand what that is. Right, another disaster that I'm going to bring up. I brought it up last week. There's a company called Advanced. Right, it's an MSP cloud host. Is still down in the UK. These guys support all sorts of healthcare companies in the UK on their cloud. Cloud got ransomed, right? And they're still shut down. So these are, you've got people in the medical profession now who are forced to use pen and paper. to do things because these systems have been down for it was a week after I talked about it. This was spotted on August 4th, I guess. And they still have 36 customers from UK's National Health Service that cannot work properly because they're dealing with restoring from backup. Now, again, you put your stuff in the cloud, and when you sat down with the cloud provider, you just said, okay, you guys are going to take everything forward. We're all set now. We don't have to worry. There's no disaster. You guys got this, right? Some CIO or CEO of whatever company decided to talk to the geeks over at the MSP here and say, we're good, right? And, well, you're not. When you lose, what happens here, when you lose control, here's what you get.
Right. And part of the problem is that people think they have a cloud backup.
Right. Yeah.
And they do. Right. I mean, you get all your data is out there on some cloud service. But then how do you get it down to a computer when you need it?
Right.
Because that computer either got ransomed or it broke.
Right.
Well, now you're sitting there waiting for 3 days for all that data to come down.
They're going
to
still be down for weeks. There's a company called Astra, for example, is said to work with 85% of NHS's 111 services, which I guess that has to do with 911 like here, and call operators. They're all forced to use pen and paper to keep things running. That's scary.
Your emergency service is based on pen and paper now.
Right.
Oh.
Right. When you put all your eggs in one basket and you drop the basket, what happens? All your eggs crack, right? Uh-huh. So, I mean, the idea of putting all your stuff in some cloud is, again, just taking your – you think you take your responsibility and obfuscate your responsibilities. Nope, you're still going to be here. You're in trouble, but you've put all your control of that trouble in somebody else's hands. So we'll put the link up here for this additional information on this outage. They're going to be down for more weeks. They're just taking forever to do these restorations on these systems. That, so.
It sounds to me like it's all cloud restoration then.
Right. And they get ransomed in the cloud. So the cloud company is going to improve their security now that this happened to them and change levels of security as far as access to these systems.
You know what they call that? They call that locking the barn door after the horses get free.
Exactly. And again, I don't know how to explain it better to you guys, but when you move your stuff into the cloud, it's out of your purview. So if you're a law firm and you have all your stuff in the cloud and this happens to you, would you be able to do your job as a lawyer? Can you use pen and paper to go ahead and write? I mean, it'd be like, may as well turn on the candles too. It's going to be like 1776 all over again. Or if you're an accounting firm and you can't do taxes because your cloud went down. We've had issues with that with the Colt Walzer or whatever they're called out there that handles a cloud-based accounting system. And if that happened during tax season, you wouldn't be able to get your taxes done. Guys, putting it all in one basket, not the smartest thing. The idea of diversification, I mean, you just listened to the financial program earlier, but the idea is you diversify. In this case, they're not diversifying. You're chucking it all in one spot. And when that one spot gets nailed, you all get nailed.
Yeah.
So that's just a little public service. We'll get back to your calls. We have two lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. Feel free to get online. Bob, hang on. And one line's already ringing. Carolyn's getting you. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're here live until 11 o'clock on this lovely Saturday morning. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to Bob in Windsor Locks for an update. This could be our Tesla guy, I hope. Ooh. Hey, Bob, is that you?
Yes, it is.
All Yay. Right. So what happened? So rehash what happened last week. And
okay, I went with GoNet Speed.
Yep.
And after that, my Tesla app on my phone would not communicate with my Tesla system.
All right.
And I called Tesla, and they told me that Tesla GoNet Speed was blocking my MAC address to allow my app to work.
Right, which would be pretty rude.
And I have to have a static IP address.
Okay.
So I called the guys at Tesla who probably got the best two guys I ever talked to for technical support that I ever talked to,
yep.
You know, trying to get this to work.
Yeah.
And they said, we'll look into it and get back to you.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, I got to talk to somebody else. I ended up talking to the CEO of GoNetSpeed.
Nice. That's the kind of guys they are at GoNetSpeed. You're getting to the people. That's good.
And he says, I'll send out an email, and I can have somebody get a hold of you.
Yeah.
And they called me back. So yesterday, I finally got an email, and they said, you know, let us know when we can get into your modem to give you the, you know, the IP address, the static IP address. My wife works from home, and I can't, you know, I can't shut my modem down at, you know, anytime I want.
Right.
So they did that, and it still wasn't working.
Of course it wasn't. Yeah. We told you that. We told you that wasn't the
what
case.
It was. Yeah.
Okay. I called Tesla back.
Yeah.
Okay. So they told me to to erase the delete the Tesla app on my phone and download it
again.
New one.
Yeah.
And I had already tried to get the Tesla app and see if there was an update. There wasn't.
Right.
Okay. And I got an update on that too. But anyways.
Yeah.
So they said, they said, okay, we're going to try something else. Go out and look at your stuff on the wall outside the house. Everything was fine there. So then I had to go downstairs and reset my battery.
Okay.
There's a big switch on the battery for, I don't know if you have solar.
No.
And I flipped that, and all of a sudden, stuff started to work.
Right. It had nothing to do with the IP address.
Right.
Okay. Now I don't know.
No.
Now I'm looking at my phone, my old phone, because I got Google phone like you do.
Yeah.
I got an old 3A and I got a 5A.
Yeah.
And I just turned on the 3A because I still have it.
Yeah.
And the app on there is working.
Right.
And I didn't know anything with that.
Right.
So I don't know if it was the combination of me just flipping the switch or if it's a combination of the IP address.
I would say it was that switch.
Yeah, the IP address has nothing to do with anything. This is outbound traffic. The outbound traffic of the data coming out of your network, the app doesn't say, oh, I need it to come from Ron's IP address of 192.168.1.1. No, it's not even configured that way. It's saying send the data out, and it goes to a Tesla server. You log into the Tesla server, right, with your app, and then Tesla feeds you the information. Right, and there's no IP address related. And it's just they were completely wrong. You didn't test our theory, though. Did you test our theory by loading the app on the workstation and see what happens?
I went in and I tried to get it on my computer.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find one for the computer.
Oh, okay. So no, you couldn't find an application that you could run on a Windows system. They only did a Apple iOS or Google.
I could only find one for a phone, you know. Either, and
okay, fair enough.
I couldn't find one for a computer.
Yep,
you know?
Yep. So
I tried, but
are you going to have to pay for that static IP that Tesla said you had to have?
I don't know yet. Probably, I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay, well, that was nice of GoNetSpeed too. So they bent over backwards to try to get this to work, even though I can tell you right now, technically up and down, they probably agreed with us that it has nothing to do with the IP address.
I would say so, yeah.
It's outbound traffic. The only reason outbound traffic would be stopped or blocked would be if you're, let's say you're working for a trash company, right? And you're working for their customer service and you're working remotely, like your wife, let's say, okay? And you want to connect to the cloud for the trash company's software. They might say, well, you know what? I want to only allow people at this particular IP to connect to the cloud-based software. So what your wife would do would be VPN into the main corporate headquarters, and now she's connecting to the cloud-based software that allows that IP address, right? In your case, you just want to know if your batteries are being charged. There's nothing in that system that says it must come from an IP address just because you changed internet providers. This all has to do with you just had to reset the equipment. I would guarantee you that.
So I do have to pay for the IP address. It's going to be a minimum charge. So,
well, there's that, but now your panels are just a little less valuable.
Yeah.
But thank you for letting us know what happened, Bob.
Yeah, I was really curious about that.
Yeah. But so people listening out there, understand this. Reset your stuff internally first before you think it's the thing you changed. So you could have also had a peanut butter sandwich that day. And the data stopped moving. People make these logical jumps because they make a change. It's a problem with what we hear all the time.
I get that all the time.
All of a sudden.
All the time.
I did go and unplug the box that Tesla gives you to put into your system. I did all that, unplugging and plug it back in and the routers. I did all that stuff.
But Not the battery.
I didn't even think about shutting the battery off and turning it back on.
Well, clearly the Tesla support guys didn't either.
Well, the first guy I talked to.
I know. He had a flow chart that came down if then. He didn't. Went right back to the top of the if then, and never did it have the battery reset.
When you go to second level, they tell you that.
The first level guy
don't know that.
Exactly.
The second level guy has that.
Exactly. Well, Bob, thank you for letting us know. We're coming up against a heartbreak this morning, but I'm glad you're able to know how much power you're generating again.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Take it easy. All right. Bob from Windsor Locks. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-WTIC is the only number you can use. The two lines open for you. And, of course, we're posting everything live over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll be right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
And we are back. We're here till 11 o'clock, guys. Get online. 860-522-9842 is the number to call and get online. No matter where you are in the country, if you're using your cell phone, generally there's no toll, so feel free to get online. And happy to have you join us. Real quick, before we take your calls, I got to tell you just a quick story. I usually don't do this, but yesterday evening, my wife and I went for a bike ride, and we picked up e-bikes, right? So I was an avid cyclist, and so my wife could never keep up, right? And I would always be going on my own. And so I decided, all right, e-bikes are a thing. They're really a thing. And so I'm finding myself riding the bike, and she's in front of me, and we're doing 20 miles an hour without even trying, and which is kind of cool. And I thought to myself, huh, I'm adding to my carbon footprint, because if I was just riding my regular bike, I wouldn't have had to charge it overnight into this massive battery, and now I'm doubling that carbon footprint with my wife. So, you know, we felt so guilty that on the way back from the bike ride, we stopped off at a brewery and a pizza and a beer and talked about it. just so
well,
we feel
good
better.
Good for you.
Yes, we wanted to feel better about our new carbon footprint with our e-bikes. But they are awesome. If you want to level the playing field, you can bring, you can just go biking and not worry about anybody. You can just all keep up. Of course, you got to charge those suckers. That's powered by, I mean, it's only powered by windmills and fairy tales, so we're all set. Let's go on to Karen in Windsor. What's happening, Karen?
Hey, guys. How are you this morning?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I have a question on telephone star codes. I remember that this was a topic a few years ago, and there is a star code out there that you enter star whatever, and it makes your telephone sound like a fax line, and that would prohibit or help reduce the calls from robocalls.
Really? I don't remember that, but it does sound cool. So when people call your, but that would, you'd think that would cause everybody to have that problem that tried to call you, right?
That's okay.
You're like, I don't want any calls at all.
They would say, she's at it again.
Why don't you just get rid of your phone number?
Well, then you have to get another one.
So you're only worrying about outbound calls. You're okay. You're okay to make a call when you need it, but you don't want anybody to call you.
Right, calling in, and it was a gentleman from, I don't know, a few years ago who said, yeah, dial star this and this. It sounds like a fax line. The automated system calling you documents that and spreads around that this is a fax line.
It's probably true. It does have some plausibility. I know Dennis is looking. It could be the case. That is a way to beat robocalls. My cell phone is such, though. I've got a Google phone. I mean, they know everything that's happening with me, but they do a great job of actually answering the call so that you can have your Google phone answer the call for you with a voice. Hey, you know, this is Eric's assistant answering the phone. What is this in regards to? So the spam caller is either real or not is going to either hang up because they don't say anything, but I don't ever get the call. If they leave a message and it's legit, I can even read the message that's being spoken and decide to pick up the call if I want to. So the cell phones these days are pretty powerful. Dennis is still looking to see if that star code exists.
Well, there are ways to use star codes to block phone numbers.
To block numbers, sure.
So you don't need to go through this process of making somebody think that it's a fax line.
Right, but it's a neat idea.
It is a neat idea, but I'm not seeing anything about it. I'm just seeing lists of different kinds of star codes you can use for different features.
Yeah.
And one of them is, like, I don't know if it'll work on your system, but on AT&T's, *60 and then put in the number, will block that number.
I gotcha.
Yep.
And then if you want to turn that off, it's *80, put in the number.
Yeah. So we'll see if we can find the star codes that are out there. What system do you use, Karen? Is it AT&T? Is it Verizon?
Verizon.
We'll see if Verizon has codes like that and put a link up there for you. But it's an interesting thought, Karen. But if you get a Google Assistant running on your phone, you have Apple or Google?
Google.
Okay. Check out the Assistant, the Google Assistant. If your phone's new enough, you can turn that on.
I will check that out.
Yeah, very good, Karen. Sounds good. Thanks for the call.
Enjoy this day out there.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I know.
All right.
Take it easy. So, you know, it's an idea to squawk right back at your robocaller's ear. I like that. Let's go on to Ron in hard-hitting New Britain. What's happening, Ron?
Good morning to you, gentlemen.
Morning.
All right. The last time I called, I was going on vacation, and I had the issue about charging my tablet combination laptop.
Okay.
It was the HP Elite book there, 360.
Nice.
Yeah, and it was wonderful, and I hit the jackpot because I had Wi-Fi where I was, and my telephone was working, and I'm up, I would say, about 1,300 feet above sea level. So it was pretty good. Now, my issue is that the battery doesn't last very long, and I bought this tablet. It was one of those refabricated or whatever they restored.
Refurbished.
There you go. And but it works wonderful. It looks wonderful, but the battery seems to not last very long. And I was just wondering, would you guys advise me to change the battery? And where's the best place to get a battery for something like that that'll work and it'll work good?
Well, the question that I have is, does the laptop have a latch on it that allows you to release the battery easily?
I doubt it.
I don't think it does.
No, it doesn't.
Because I have a convertible like that, too, and it doesn't have a battery like that.
Mm-mm.
If that's the case, I would urge you not to take the laptop apart to change it out.
yourself.
Not yourself. I mean, if you know somebody that knows how to do it, or you take it to a shop that does that, go ahead. The problem that you're going to run into with replacing the battery is something that we've talked about before, where batteries are very often customized for a model, and you know, a year later, they're, you know, a company like HP is putting a different battery in that product line, and then the year after that, another battery.
Right.
So the batteries that fit and match the specs on your laptop are going to tend to be just about as old as the laptop.
Right.
And the older the laptop gets, the harder it's going to be to find a really good battery that hasn't chemically degraded, which is what happened to yours.
Right.
And you're going to be stuck. And a lot of these batteries, especially the ones for the more advanced laptops, tend to be really expensive.
Yeah.
I think for mine, I think I saw a price of like $80, $90 on eBay. There's no way that I'm paying that much and then putting it in myself. I'm just not doing it.
And you're a geek.
And I'm a geek. It's just not something that I want to do to the thing.
No.
So you can replace the battery. I would have a shop do it that knows how, or if you know somebody that can do it, have it done. But I don't know if you're going to get a battery that's going to turn out to be substantially better than the one you've already got.
I've looked on the net, and on Amazon, I found some under $50.
Oh, you'll find them, and they're out there. But the problem is that they were all manufactured around the same time.
I heard that part.
And you know,
and the other thing too is, Ron, if you don't get the right battery, you can't necessarily trust the safety of it, right? Some of these third parties making batteries could be who knows where, who knows what.
They could have been stored in a warehouse that heated and cooled through the years, and you don't know if the housing on the battery is going to last either.
Right. So how old is it? It's refurbished. So how old is the machine to you, Ron?
Well, I got it, I would say, about 8 months ago.
Ah. See, that's a snag with refurb. It was cheaper, obviously, but it's already probably had a bunch of life taken out of it from the person that had it in the first place. Probably 3 or 4 years, maybe.
No scratches, no nothing. It looks new, and it works wonderful. It's one of those 16 gigabyte RAM. It's super fast. And I like it. I really like it. But the only issue that I have is that the battery doesn't last all that long. It lasts, I would say, about most of the day, but I thought
Most of the day?
Ron. You know, you guys are tough. I don't know about computer users, but you guys are impossible.
12 hours of battery time, you consider that too short?
You know what I mean? Most of the day that you use it, and I used to put music on. I'm up in the mountains.
Yeah.
So what I did was I used to use it, I would say, from, I used to get up real early, around 5 in the morning to about 12, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, maybe, and I would just hit the road after that.
You're getting 6 to 8 hours time out of that. Something that's like not that. Bad, actually.
And I played music a lot. You know, it was my stereo. As a matter of speaking, I'm old school.
You're killing me, Ron. Users, you know, we got to deal with this every day. I was thinking you're telling us I may only last a couple hours. Most of the day is definitely don't touch nothing. You go find a different problem to have.
You got
no troubles.
You're describing 6 to 8 hours of time. Yeah, and that's quite good.
I want your battery.
Wow,
you're doing great. You're doing great. Don't.
I thought it was a short span the battery life, but I used to have it plugged in most of the time also.
Yeah.
But I think it will go down. I would have to charge it up like every day and a half. You know, you definitely would have to plug it in.
Ron, we're not laughing at you, but we're a little bit laughing at you. You're the best. You are doing fine. I need you to find a bigger problem in your life. Your battery is not one of them.
Absolutely not.
All right.
All right. Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, nice chatting with you, Ron.
Yep, bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, yeah, so if you're... We almost need to have like Carolyn go through like a list of things. So, is your battery working most of the time? Yes. Okay. Then you're not getting on the show. Is your computer working most? Yeah. It's just too funny. But like I said, we've been doing this for like almost 30 years. Eventually, we're going to solve all the issues. We can't fix that one. That's not a problem. But it was a good call. We're going to step out for a quick break, right, Carolyn? and get to your calls. Three lines open for you, 860-522-9842. It's WTIC. This is Computer Talk with Tab on WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab, and we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. This is, you know, I guess it's Elvis week. So Carolyn's continuing the tunes for us. And
why not?
Why not, yeah. This is a pretty cool bump. Let's go to your calls. We're going to go to Will in Southington next, my own hometown. What's going on, Will?
Good morning.
Morning.
Listen, I have a Lenovo, about a four-year-old Lenovo laptop. The mouse is, one of those finger feelers. So you use the left side of the pad of it.
Yep.
Constantly, it's jumping in size of the monitor. I'm going along. I just, whatever happens, it jumps from 100% normal to 250, 400. Then I have to go up and dial it back. And then, you know, it jumps. And I can't find the reason for it. I've slowed my mouse activity down to where I have to scroll about four times with my finger to get it over, get the marker over to the other side of the screen.
Right.
That's one thing.
Real quick, on when you say it, you mean the cursor, the little point?
Yeah, the cursor.
It gets super large.
The mouse slowed down to where I have to, it takes me 3 seconds to slide over to the left side of the screen from the right. I don't know what else to do. I can't seem to find out why it's doing this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're on the case. What do you think, Dennis? Okay.
Well, what I think we might want to do first is to open up Device Manager and look for the trackpad in the list of the...
So find the trackpad in Device Manager.
Okay.
It might take you a while considering you slowed down your
mouse.
It'll
be under a category of input devices.
Am I still with you?
Yeah. Yes. Are you there? Did you find it? Or are you writing? Are you taking notes? Are you doing it now?
I'm listening. I'm in my car.
Oh, okay. You're going to look for it in Device Manager. It'll be under a category called Input Devices.
Right.
And you're going to right click on it in that list, and then you're going to click Uninstall Device, and you're going to reboot the computer.
Okay.
What that will do is it will reload the drivers for it. Because I think what's happening is something that you're doing or something that it's sensing triggering a gesture that enlarges the cursor.
Right.
And
I understand that. Resetting
the drivers and the other settings that are associated with that in the computer, it might stop doing that.
It'll default it. The other idea too, Will, is you can always get an external monitor, an external mouse that you plug in and just use a mouse rather than the pad. I hate the pad. I don't know. I don't know about you, but.
All right. Thank you very much. I'll try that. Now, the other problem I have, same computer, the Lenovo.
Yeah.
I'm typing along, and suddenly the paragraph above that I've just typed, for example, will go blue highlighted, and the next key.
Same problem. Same problem. What's happening is something is triggering that
on the pad.
The computer is saying, "Oh, he wants me to select that previous paragraph."
Your pad sensitivity or like Dennis said, is something wrong with it. So you could always disable the pad and just use an external mouse. And,
well, that would work too.
Yeah.
How the heck did you ever learn that? My God, that's amazing. All right.
Well, we appreciate that you think it's that amazing, but for me, I mean, if you could, can you change your own oil?
Oh, yes.
I think that's pretty amazing, man, I'll tell you. So we all have our skill sets.
Oh, listen, when I was a kid, I was a mechanic. Okay, thank you very much. You guys are great.
Thanks, Will. Take it easy.
Another thing that he could do is check the accessibility features on the device.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike G just let us know that's sometimes
that's a good
affects
point.
Things.
That's a good point. Yeah, the stuff we're talking about here, you know, We appreciate that you think it's great and all that. But again, we just it's just our skill set is what we do every day. Just like you guys can build buildings and write contracts, and you know we all have our skill sets. This is really kind of silly, as far as I'm concerned, in that we have to talk to you about how the computer is not is really. It's almost like if you took your power window on your car and your radio turned on, right? If cars work that, I mean Teslas do that probably, but if normal cars do that, it makes no sense, right? Why would you turn your power window to go down, but your radio turns on? With a computer, for some reason, that's the issues that we deal with constantly. They're no longer logical. They're just all disconnected. It's become a huge mess, and it's conflated with all sorts of different updates and service packs and vulnerabilities. And I mean, like the song goes, every OS sucks, right? This is exactly the issue. This operating system that you're talking about, Windows, on this guy's computer, is definitely having an issue understanding what he's inputting on the device that is designed to take inputs. Right?
Yeah.
And my advice would be to stop using that device to do the inputs and just use an external mouse. Real quick, because we have four lines wide open, feel free to get online, 860-522-WTIC. But I wanted to bring this up. There's a story that I found that was kind of interesting. I think this guy is out like in the Midwest. Yeah, Michigan. He was going to have to pay $50,000 to Comcast to get internet to his Michigan home, his rural home in Michigan.
Wow.
And instead of he would either get pathetically slow AT&T speeds or pay $50,000 to Comcast to get connected. You know what he decided to do? He became his own internet service provider.
Hey, that's right? Cool.
So now he's his own MSP. He's got his own fiber internet service, and it serves about 70 customers. So he's making some good money on this. And now our government is giving him $2.6 million in funding to expand his little service that he started to 600 homes.
Well, the government has a program now to expand broadband to places that don't have it. So why not him?
Right. The odd is just crazy, though, right? So Comcast wants to whack you $50,000. This is a company that is monstrous, right? And this little guy in his house has come up with a solution on his own. And
well it kind of makes sense. If you're going to spend $50,000,
yeah,
to do something,
mm-hmm,
are you going to hand that money over to some other company to do it for you?
Right.
Or are you just going to build your own business to deliver the same thing? Why not? I mean, it seems almost like a no-brainer to me, but hey, all the power to him.
Exactly. So for $55, you get 100 megabits up and down. Ooh. From this guy, or gigabit speeds with unlimited data for $79. I mean, that beats my Cox service, which I thankfully got rid of yesterday. Now I'm on good NetSpeed. Very happy, very happy. Can't tell you how happy I am. But Cox is charging me almost $90 a month for 150 megabits. This guy in the middle of Michigan nowhere for $79 on his own fiber service, gigabit speeds, unlimited. So what's going on here? How come he can do that and we can't get more competition in Connecticut? We have more with GoNetSpeed, which is tremendous. This guy did it in his backyard. It's not rocket science, guys.
Yeah.
What's going on here?
I don't know.
2022. And you can't get fast internet everywhere with competition and everybody out there fighting for your business. You can't, especially in Connecticut. So, but at least we have something happen with GoNetSpeed. So feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. I know it's a gorgeous Saturday morning, but feel free to get online. Otherwise, Dennis and I have to talk about our kids and our cats. We'll be right back.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts!